Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Our victim today is Forrest Schaub, a 26-year-old rapper from Canada who is known by the name DY, which is short for Die Young. He left Canada for Mexico sometime in August of 2010 and was never seen or heard from again. There are a lot of reasons this case is completely baffling. To begin with, no one knows when exactly Forrest left Canada, where in Mexico he was going, or even why he went. And it took 3 months for him to be reported missing, even though no one in his life, including his family, his friends, his label, or his fans, had heard from him. What happened to Forrest Schaub? And why does it seem like everyone stopped looking for him? Normally at this point, I'd talk about the vacation destination where Forrest went missing. But guys, I don't actually know where he went missing, other than he said he was going to Mexico. But Mexico is a big country. There were rumors that he flew into Cancun for a night, then went to Cabo San Lucas, then possibly another location. So let's talk about Cabo. Cabo is a quick flight from Los Angeles, and I love it there. So much that I even named my dog Cabo. It's located on the southern tip of the Baja California Peninsula, and it's a popular tourist destination. One of the best things about Cabo is the weather. They have a warm, arid climate with over 300 days of sunshine a year. Summers can be hot, while winters are mild and pleasant. With no shortage of fun things to do in Cabo, it's a great year-round destination. And if you know me, you know how much I love beaches, so we'll start there. Two of the best are Playa del Amor, known as Lover's Beach, and Playa del Divorcio, known as Divorce Beach. Both are accessible by water taxi, kayak, or small boat. Lover's Beach is best known for its calm, crystal-clear waters and tranquil atmosphere, making it ideal for swimming, snorkeling, and relaxing with your loved one. But then, if you walk across a narrow strip of land, you'll find yourself on Divorce Beach, which has powerful waves, strong currents, and is unsuitable for swimming. The beaches, being so close to each other, yet offering vastly different experiences, provides a poetic metaphor for the highs and lows of relationships. So, I suppose, choose wisely on which beach you want to visit and with whom. One of the main attractions in Cabo is El Arco, or the Arch. It's an iconic rock formation at Land's End and one of the most recognizable landmarks. The most common way to visit El Arco is by taking a boat tour from the Cabo San Lucas Marina. But you can also kayak or paddleboard or rent a boat for a sunset cruise. The Arch is a big rock that has been carved by the wind over thousands of years and has become a beautiful golden color surrounded by blue waters. Definitely a sight to see in Cabo and the perfect photo for Instagram. I think because Cabo is so popular, there are a few myths associated with the area. First, a lot of people think Cabo is expensive, and it can be. There are luxury resorts and high-end dining options. But there is also a range of budget-friendly accommodations and affordable restaurants. Another myth is that Cabo is primarily a party destination for spring breakers. Cabo does have quite the nightlife, but as someone who doesn't normally party or even visit bars while I travel, I found plenty of other things to do. There's snorkeling, swimming, whale watching, deep sea fishing, zip lining, local shopping markets, and even desert excursions. The Church of St. Luke is a gorgeous open-air church that dates back to the early 18th century. It was originally built by Spanish missionaries during the colonial period as part of their efforts to convert the local indigenous populations to Christianity. It's one of the oldest and most iconic buildings in Cabo, and a great place to visit when you're there. If you're into famous nightclubs and restaurants, Cabo Wabo Cantina is the place to go. It was founded by Van Halen rock star Sammy Hagar in 1990. He called it Cabo Wabo after he was inspired by a local trying to walk while drunk, wobbling along the streets of Cabo. So the Cabo part refers to the location, and Wabo is a playful take on the man wobbling down the street. The bar has live music, dancing, food, and themed parties. The perfect spot for both tourists and locals looking for a night out on the town. Overall, Cabo is a great vacation spot in Mexico, although it's hard to say if our victim was actually there, or for that matter, if he was in Mexico at all. So let's dive in to what we do and don't know about the mysterious disappearance of Forrest Schaub.
Hey there, true crime aficionados. Looking for a podcast that's as twisted as it is hilarious?
Well, you've stumbled upon the perfect place. Welcome to Luminol on the Wall, or as we like to call it, Lotwa. I'm Becky, the sunshine to your day.
And I'm Bevy, the moonlight to your darkness. Together, we're the sisters you never knew you needed, bringing you true crime like you've never heard before.
Picture this. Two sisters, complete opposites.
Yeah, she's all sunshine and kindness, while I'm the queen of sarcasm and sass.
But that's what makes our sister chat so relatable. We're like the sun and the moon, lighting up your true crime journey with laughter and irreverence.
That's right. We dive into the darkest corners of humanity, but we don't just stop at the gore and the controversies. Oh no. We're here to roast the characters, each other, and sometimes even ourselves.
We laugh hysterically at our own jokes.
And we swear like sailors while we're at it, so if you're easily offended, consider this your warning.
But if you're ready for a wild ride through the twisted minds of murderers, join us on Lotwa. We'll cope with the horrific nature of our content the only way that we know how. That is with a healthy, or maybe excessive dose of sarcasm, wit, and a touch of crass humor.
So what are you waiting for? Hit that follow button and join our sisterhood as we navigate the murky waters of true crime together. We promise you won't regret it.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Forrest was born in 1984 in Vancouver, British Columbia. He had 2 brothers and a sister, but other than that, not much is known about his childhood. Living in Vancouver, he started making music independently around the age of 14. He won several MC competitions and released some solo material. From the release of his solo material, he was noticed by several talent scouts who wanted to take him to the next level. This is when he took the stage name Metaforest, and that's Metaforest with a Z instead of an S. In 2003, he released his debut mixtape called Street Legal Volume 1, Strictly 4EV, under his Metaforest name. Because of that, he started gaining more popularity in the underground circuit throughout Vancouver. He played a lot of shows in Canada and in 2006 released another mixtape, this one called Street Legal Volume 2, Canada's Nightmare. Gaining a solid fan base in 2009, he moved to Toronto, signed to Canadian record label CP, and changed his name to Die Young, calling himself DY for short. The record label he signed with, CP Music Group, was originally founded in 2002 as Capital Profit Records, becoming CP in 2008. It was founded by Canadian rapper Belly and his business partner Tony Sal, and played a significant role in several music careers over the years. They did talent management, music production, promotion, and distribution. They excelled at collaborations with some of the biggest names in the music industry, which helped elevate their artists to the next level. Right after signing with CP, DY collaborated with Danny Fernandez on a hit club single called Passenger that was released in October 2009. Danny Fernandez is a Canadian singer, songwriter, and dancer, known for his many contributions to the pop and R&B scenes around that time. Years later, Danny was accused of taking thousands of dollars to help artists' music careers, but not following through with them. Text messages, bank documents, and lawsuits revealed that Danny took more than $200,000 from about a dozen people. After several lawsuits were filed, Danny apologized and said he wasn't in his right mind because of his drug use. And there were drug trafficking rumors surrounding the CP record label when Forrest was there. But we'll get into that soon. From the success of his hit Passenger, Forrest went on a Canadian tour with Akon in 2009. This was his big break, and he started gaining more notoriety across Canada. He was considered an emerging star on the scene and featured in the February 19, 2010 issue of Billboard magazine. And in 2010, this was a much bigger deal than it would be today, because without social media being widespread, this was the best way to find new artists. Also at this time, Drake and The Weeknd were emerging out of Canada, and Forrest was right along with them. So people felt it was only a matter of time before he was also a household name. Right before Forrest went missing, he was working on his second single called That's My Spot, featuring Dee Woods from Danity Kane, and on that path to fame that he had dreamed of his entire life. So why would he choose this time in his life to take a trip to Mexico without telling anyone his plans? And how could someone on this path to fame not be reported missing for 3 whole months? Let's get into the facts after a message from our sponsors. Hey guys, let's get real about getting older. I'm in my 40s and feel like I'm in the prime of my life, but I want to look like I'm in my prime too. And that's why I go to Dr. Rahi. She's an integrative aesthetic specialist. And when I say she does it all, I mean she does it all. She wipes out wrinkles, tightens your skin, has customized facials, non-surgical facelifts, acupuncture, helps with weight loss, nutrition, hormone therapy, hypnosis, everyday skincare, and more. Her gorgeous office is located on Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles. And she's available for consultations and appointments now. But if you're not in Los Angeles, you've still got access to the best skincare and weight loss products that really work. And it's all located at drrahi.com. Yep, no matter where in the world you are, you have access to the best skincare and weight loss products out there at drrahi.com. And for listening to the last trip, Dr. Rahi is offering 10% off all orders at drrahi.com if you use code BB at checkout. That's drrahi.com, drrahi.com, and use code BB, that's B-E-E-B-E, at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Check it out now, because while you're not getting any younger, you can look like you are. Forrest Schaub was last seen on August 8, 2010, about a week before his friends and family think he went to Mexico. He was at his music video shoot for That's My Spot and also did an interview later that day with Dee Woods about the new song. While the exact date Forrest left is unknown, we can narrow it down to sometime between August 8th and August 13th, because on August 13th, Forrest sent a BBM to his manager, which, for those of you who are too young to remember, that's an abbreviation for BlackBerry Messenger. The message simply told his manager that he was in Mexico. The next day, August 14th, his manager messaged him back, but it was never delivered. Forrest told his family he would be in Mexico for about 2 weeks and would not be accepting calls or messages during that time. Now, that's pretty suspect to me because in 2010, we had cell phones with international calling and computers and social media and email. There are plenty of ways he could have communicated with people back home. Even if he wanted to be completely alone and take a break, it's weird that he would tell them he wasn't accepting calls or messages. After he left, his Facebook page was updated to show his location as everywhere. And it's possible he was active on Facebook and Twitter until September 8th. That's when a tweet was sent out to Toronto radio personality Jenny McKenzie to wish her a happy birthday. But there's some discrepancy there as to who actually sent that tweet out. Most people think that his label had control of his social media, and they posted that tweet because they often posted his tweets for him. It was said he rarely, if ever, tweeted in his own account. Now, for 3 months, no one actually heard from Forrest. His family later said they weren't sure if he decided to stay in Mexico, and that's why they didn't reach out after the 2 weeks, and that they were worried about him, but didn't want to draw unnecessary attention by looking for him because it may embarrass him. So on November 18th, 2010, they finally reported him missing. By this time, his fans were starting to raise the alarm, asking where he was. But his family was still concerned for his privacy, so when they reported him missing with the Toronto police, they didn't go to the public in consideration of his music career. They said they didn't want it to negatively affect his career while he was gone. But soon, social media was buzzing with his friends and fans inquiring about his whereabouts. A few Canadian news sources picked up the story from this, but there were no leads or clues and very little information overall about his trip to Mexico. He didn't tell anyone exactly when he was leaving or even what part of Mexico he was going to, and Canadian authorities never actually confirmed he left the country. His sister turned to Facebook to ask for help, writing, "He flew into Cancun, then Cabo, then somewhere else." So it seems to be the third day in Mexico that he disappeared. She also wrote that his reason for going to Mexico was just to get away from it all. On December 10, 2010, his family released a statement to the press expressing their grave worry regarding Forrest's disappearance. People were finally active in the search for the young rapper. His label mates, Belly and Danny Fernandez, who appeared in the passenger video he shot right before he vanished, tweeted, "Please hashtag pray for DY. Nobody has heard from him in months. Please pray for his safe return." Forrest's management team launched a viral search and rescue operation, asking fans to retweet information on him and contact the Toronto Police Department with any information about his last whereabouts. But there were still no clues. Tony Sell, CEO of CP Records, said, "DY is such a great young talent. All of the artists and staff at CP Records have him and his family in our prayers." CP Records, at Forrest's family's request, resumed the release of his song, "That's My Spot," in December. It had been put on hold by the label waiting for his return, but his sister Jessica said, "Forrest has always wanted to inspire others in challenging circumstances to make it, and he would want to continue to inspire people and get his music out to the world." After December, with no leads coming in, news channels stopped reporting on or even mentioning his disappearance. In fact, online, it looks like most people, other than his family, stopped looking for Forrest altogether. His sister posted some blogs throughout the years with clues she received from psychics. But otherwise, his disappearance just became a blurb in lists of famous people who mysteriously disappeared throughout history. There have never been any solid leads or updates. But there have been plenty of rumors and theories.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
At first, a lot of people speculated Forrest's disappearance was a publicity stunt. But why and for what? With him never reappearing, it's doubtful it was some type of publicity stunt. Many people asked how he wasn't reported missing by anyone for 3 long months. Who was paying his rent? Who paid his cell phone or other bills during those 3 months so that red flags weren't raised? There's little to no information about his personal life, but even a single guy living in an apartment would be missed after 3 months, especially if bills weren't being paid. Hypothetically, his label or management could have been taking care of his bills for him. But again, in that case, why weren't they the ones to report him missing? His sister seemed to tackle this question on social media, saying that his family actually thought something was wrong midway through September, but told themselves it was probably nothing and that he just needed a vacation. And at this time, his older brother and sister were in Europe with just his mom and little brother in Canada, and they didn't know who to turn to, so they just waited. Also, not talking to his family for a few months at a time wasn't unusual for Forrest. I don't know the relationship they had with him, but it seems like taking off and not telling anyone was something he had done before. In this case, I think his label would have been very worried. He was scheduled to go on tour and had a new single that was supposed to be released. Musicians don't just run away right before their career is about to take off, especially without their label looking for them. And this is when the rumors started about the label. Rumors about CP sending their artists to Mexico for drug-related business. Normally, I'd think these were just rumors. But years later, with Danny Fernandez admitting his drug problems and in trouble with the law for stealing money from other artists, I wonder if there are any truths to the rumors. Could it have been a business deal gone wrong? Was he set up by a Mexican cartel while doing business for his record label, and he was killed? Or maybe someone at the label had him killed because he found out they were stealing money from him. We'll likely never know the answers to those questions. But many times, rumors have some truth in them. Another widely circulated rumor was that he was part of the Hells Angels at the time of his disappearance. The rumor was that he borrowed a significant amount of money and drugs from the gang to fund his career in music, but he never paid them back. Perhaps they made it look like he went to Mexico, but actually killed him before he left, or had it done in Mexico as punishment for failed payments. Again, we'll probably never know, but it makes you wonder how much truth there is behind that. And of course, there are theories of undiagnosed mental illness, drug and alcohol addiction, running away with a girl he met in Mexico, wanting to get away from it all and start a new life, but none of these seem to fit. In an interview shortly before his disappearance, he talked about his excitement to go back out on tour. And when asked, "So why do you rap? Why are you a rapper?" he simply responded, "Because I love what I do." There are very few instances that a musician would run away and start a new life at the beginning of what looks like a very promising career. And starting a new life in another country isn't something that someone can do on a whim. It's difficult and expensive and takes a lot of planning. Someone would have found a clue if that's what he was doing. Forrest's sister, Jessica, wrote a blog called "How Can You Help Me Find My Brother?" In the blog, she talks about her psychic friend who was selected for a secret government project known as Project Pegasus. This psychic said Forrest was neither dead nor being held hostage somewhere with the wrong people. Jessica also wrote that Interpol has records saying he went to Mexico, but once there, he continued on to other countries. Her friend said he was able to remote view Forrest and saw him in Mexico at a posh resort or hotel where he met up with a couple who were adventurers. They liked Forrest and asked him to go on an adventure with them to South America. And Forrest, being lost to alcohol and his many sorrows over breaking up with his girlfriend, decided he had nothing to lose and went with them. They did not harm him or anything, and they eventually parted ways. Suddenly, he was lost and alone with very little knowledge of Spanish. He then made his way to various major cities along the Pan-American Highway. The psychic said he got to Uruguay and was very low on funds and living like a homeless, disheveled person on the streets in a major city doing what he could to get by. Now, I certainly can't say whether someone is or is not psychic, but I think family will grasp at any answers when they have nothing to go on, and this could be the case. 4 years later, on September 7th, 2014, Jessica wrote another blog that said, "My brother has been missing for 4 years now and had this, which I like to refer to as the hungry ghost syndrome. He was a rap recording artist. His studio gave him everything, money, plenty of girls on the side just waiting to get at him. He had luxury, music videos with Danny Fernandez. Even Flo Rida was interested in working with my brother. My brother had everything, even a beautiful, kind girlfriend, but it was never enough. He even insisted his girlfriend get plastic surgery, and the more he got, the more sad and lost he became. It was devastating to watch my brother self-destruct in this way, to the point he got in such serious trouble with the wrong people that he had to disappear. He had no other choice. He had not only endangered himself, but the whole family." She said another psychic named Diego confirmed Forrest was not dead. He was hiding away, but the psychic was not able to say the location because Forrest did not want to be found, saying, "He's not supposed to be found. He is starting his life over again in humble means, where he is a nobody, and I think he is happier this way." That is the last update in this case. Many news articles from the time of his disappearance are no longer online. Most people have stopped talking about him, and pretty much everyone has stopped looking for him. Forrest would be 40 years old this year, and there is simply no information on what happened to him. I find it heartbreaking that a talented young musician could simply disappear the way he did. With so little information, it's unlikely his loved ones and fans will ever know what happened. But I do think Forrest was met with foul play, and someone out there knows more than they've said. Is Mexico a safe country to visit? Well, asking that is like opening a can of worms. Like any country, parts of Mexico are very safe and other parts are not safe at all. Some of the safest areas include Merida, Playa del Carmen, Tulum, Puerto Vallarta, Cancun, Cozumel, Cabo, Huatulco, Oaxaca, and Mexico City. I've been to quite a few places on this list and totally agree. Let's go through them. I visited Merida years ago and loved it. It's the Yucatan capital and stands out as one of the safest cities in Mexico and Latin America, earning recognition from the CEO World magazine as the safest city on the continent after Quebec in Canada. It's known for its stunning colonial architecture, great food, and close proximity to archaeological sites. The city center is gorgeous with an exciting music and art scene, as well as iconic landmarks like the Palacio del Habanero and the Cathedral of San Ildefonso. Merida is generally safe, but like any city, stay aware of your surroundings and take basic precautions. Playa del Carmen is a wonderful beach town to visit along the Caribbean coast with a really large expat community. There have been some rare instances of violent crime directed at tourists lately in the area and around Tulum due to the drug cartel. But overall, it's still a safe place to visit. The beaches have stunning white sand, there's a vibrant nightlife, and it's very close to Chichen Itza and other amazing landmarks. You'll want to stick close to the more touristy areas, avoid walking alone at night, and steer clear of any unnecessary attention. Tulum is close by and again has had some recent instances of violent crimes in tourist areas, but still considered very safe. The town has a fascinating history and there are ancient Mayan ruins nearby, but it's become quite touristy and a little more expensive than many places in Mexico. When you're there, stay vigilant. Avoid walking around at night due to an uptick in gang-related violence. Most violence does not target tourists specifically, but you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Puerto Vallarta is a town I've been to many times and have always felt safe. It's become a great destination for everyone, and many resorts are known to specifically cater to same-sex couples. It's a bit of a party town, but there are a lot of gorgeous beaches and landmarks to visit as well. When I'm in the area, I normally stay in a tiny surf town nearby called Sayulita. While there are bars and clubs, it's a bit quieter and a lot smaller. There are petty crimes like bag snatching, pickpocketing, and theft, but violent crimes in the area are rare. Cancun has always been a very popular tourist destination in Mexico. The beaches are some of the best I've been to, the resorts are luxurious, and it's really safe. The city has invested a lot of security measures for tourists, including numerous surveillance cameras and an increase in police patrols to ward off crimes. Right off the coast of Cancun is Cozumel, an island town with a really laid-back atmosphere. It's a great place to snorkel, dive, and lay on the beach. But if you're looking to go out at night and find a party atmosphere, Cozumel probably isn't the place for that. Cabo, which is possibly where Forrest went missing, has a pretty low crime rate as well. It's designed for the resort experience. It has stunning beaches and lots of tourist activities. Many people that visit Cabo end up staying on the resorts, enjoying the beaches, pools, and various luxuries and activities they offer. Huatulco is next on the list of safe places, and it's actually a place I hadn't heard of before, but would love to visit after researching it. It started out as a small fishing village and has that unspoiled charm. It's considered safer than many U.S. cities, but there is still a bit of organized crime in the area. There's a sizable expat community, the locals speak English, there's a variety of luxury resorts, and over 30 white sandy beaches. Oaxaca is in southern Mexico, and it's like stepping back in time. The city is a UNESCO World Heritage Site due to the wonderfully preserved colonial-era buildings. It's not only one of the safest cities in Mexico, but there are also a bunch of ruins nearby. If you're a history buff and love to learn about culture, Oaxaca is perfect. And if you're a foodie, it's the birthplace of numerous Mexican dishes in restaurants worldwide. So going there, you can experience the authentic culinary scene. Mexico City was surprisingly one of my favorite spots in the country. It was clean, beautiful, and safe. It didn't feel at all like a city with millions of people in it. Years ago, it had a reputation for being unsafe, but underwent a significant transformation between 2009 and 2011. And today it's considered one of the safest major cities in Mexico. I walked through the entire city when I was there and never felt unsafe or in any danger, even walking around at night, although I'd stuck to the more populated areas. I highly recommend visiting Mexico City if you get the chance. Overall, Mexico is a wonderful country to visit. The culture, history, and beauty is something I've loved experiencing. Just make sure you take normal safety precautions that you would anytime you go anywhere, and you'll be just fine. And most importantly, no matter where you're traveling, make sure you inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Forrest Terry Grant Schaub, aka Die Young, or DY, aka Metaforest, is a Canadian rapper who went missing in August 2010. He left Canada on a trip to Mexico and has never been seen or heard from again. There's a possibility he went missing in Cabo, but that has not been confirmed. Forrest was 26 years old at the time of his disappearance, and today he would be 40. He is 6'2", 200 to 220 pounds, had dirty blonde hair and hazel green eyes. He has numerous tattoos, including sleeves on both arms. The most notable were the words "live fast" on one arm and "still last" on the other. If you have any information about the disappearance of Forrest Schaub, now is the time to speak up. His family deserves to know what happened. Contact the Toronto Police Department at 416-808-2222. Or his sister, Jessica, at jessicamystic@gmail.com. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.